Good evening. Thank you very much, Brother Roddy. That M surely fell in line with the message. That man of Calvary has won my heart from me and died to set me free. Blessed man of Calvary. Aren't you glad, Christian, tonight that he came and took our place? Tonight our message can be centered around the cross. And that's why I say that fell right in line with what we have to say tonight. I'd like for you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53 for a couple of verses. Then we're going to John's Gospel, chapter 19. I would like to thank Brother Chris Forsythe for coming up this afternoon and getting the antenna and everything ready that we could go on live tonight. And we do say big thank you, Chris, for your effort. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. John's Gospel, chapter 19. There we get the story of the cross. John 19, verse 13. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. And Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. What sad words next? Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew, Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. I'm sure the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his precious word. If I was to put a title on the message tonight, it would be Christ's Seven Last Journeys. We're going to look at him going from Gethsemane to Calvary. I come across something in Choice Gleanings just a few days ago. If you had it, you might have read it, but it's worth repeating. The writer says Calvary is the center of world history. Isn't that true? It says it's the highest measure of love. We focused on that this morning at the Lord's Supper. It says it's the deepest measure of suffering. We just read that and we could see that's true. And the widest measure of salvation. And we know that's true. All before Calvary looked forward to it. And all after Calvary looked back to it. What a place. Calvary. Said we're going to look at the Lord Jesus' seven last journeys. The first of those last of those seven is that journey from the upper room to Gethsemane. What a journey. Surely as he's leaving, he's just instituted the feast of the Lord's Supper. And surely Calvary is before him. And as he takes that journey, the scripture says, and he comes to Gethsemane, a place where he's accustomed to going for peace and quiet. But not this time. This time it's different. This time, Calvary's before him. And the scripture says he goes there with one motive, and that's to pray. And he leaves 8 of those disciples in the back of the garden. And he takes 3 with him. Peter, James, and John. And then he begins to pray. He says about a stone's cast, the scripture says. And as we look at that prayer, you have to agree with me that it was a lonely prayer. Because he's withdrawn from everyone. And there it's he and the Father as he prays. Friends, tonight not only was it a lonely prayer, was it? But it was a humble prayer because he fell on his face on the ground. And every time I remember in scripture he's praying, he's looking up and standing and talking to the Father. But can't you see his agony? He's down on his face and he sweats blood. I understand everyone who's ever gone through such agony and actually sweated blood. Most people have died. Seldom anyone survives it. What agony! And you say, why? Friend, if you're listening tonight without Christ, it was for you, it was for me. He went through such agony. Not only a humble prayer, it was a final prayer. Because the next time, final prayer on earth, that is. The next time he prays, he's on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? What a prayer. But then it's a earnest prayer, isn't it? As we just said, because he sweats like blood. A persevering prayer. 3 times so long. Father, is there any other way that a sinner could be brought back to you? And heaven is silent because there's no other way. Thank God he finishes that prayer. And we see it's a submissive prayer. Not my will, but thy will be done. Aren't you glad he finished the prayer tonight? Friends, if you're not saved, how could you turn such a friend down like that? Who agonized so much for you. The cup of sacrifice and suffering was his. That the cup of salvation might be mine and yours. What a friend. The psalmist says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Friends, we can't render anything to obtain salvation. You know that. And I know that. But the psalmist says this, I will take the cup of salvation. Friend, for all what he's done for you, the least you could do tonight is accept him as your Savior. Isn't he worth it? Isn't he worth it? What he endured for you? Oh, friend, if you're listening without Christ, I say again, how could you turn such a friend down? Who would agonize and suffer for you like that? His agony was unfathomable. We'll never get to the depths of that suffering. Scripture says God sent an angel. It was so great to strengthen him. But Peter, writing in his epistle, says, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Why would one just suffer for me and you, the unjust? Scripture finishes it, that he might bring us back to God. Oh, friend, again, don't turn him down tonight. Don't turn him down. And then, the scene is ending in Gethsemane. And they come, and they arrest him. And Peter betrays him. Judas betrays him with a kiss. Friend, tonight, if you're without Christ, what are you betraying him with tonight? What are you selling him for tonight? And Christian, tonight, let me throw a challenge to you and me. What are we selling him for tonight? I trust we as Christians will give him our best and our all. And friends, if you're without Christ, I trust that you'll give him your life, your soul, your heart tonight before it's too late. It says, and they bound him. The mighty God, they bound him. Could you get to that? Submissive to let men bind him. And then they take that second journey from Gethsemane to Annas. What a journey that must have been. The Lord Jesus knew all things. And Annas was an high priest, just retired, as it were, from the high priest office. And not much is said about Annas, but to say that Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas. Annas knew different. Annas knew better. But you know, Annas just didn't care. Friends, if you're without Christ tonight, are you like Annas the high priest? Do you care? Or you just don't care? Say, I'll deal with him another time. Annas just didn't care. I've been to that place. Others here have been to it. Caiaphas' home is across there, so they say it was his home. Anna's house is here, and there's a hole in the ground. You know, Brother Roddy seen it. Most people might not get to see it. Eddie pointed out to me, they say, this is the place where they put him during the night. In a dark hole, the Son of God. That's where he spent the night, bound, been slapped, been battered. Friends, he took it for you. He took it from me. And then, that next journey, from Annas to Caiaphas. And there we see the accusation. You see, they couldn't find anyone to be truthful, since they hired false witnesses against him. And then, seemingly they're not getting anywhere. And Caiaphas is frustrated. He says, are you the weary Christ? And the Lord said, ye say that I am. Friends, the force of those words, you'd never get to it. What the Lord is really saying, you have said it exactly. I am God. I am deity. And for this, they crucified him. The psalmist said, the kings of earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. You see, the scripture prophesied that would happen. And then look, like we're doing a video tonight, they're taking him, they're leading him from judgment, from prison, like a lamb. Follow me from Caiaphas to Pilate. And then, look at what Pilate has to say. Are you the very king? And then the same words. You say it. You say it. Pilate goes out and says, I find no fault in this man. This man is innocent. And three times over, no fault. No fault. No fault. And the Lord Jesus said to Pilate, everyone that is of the truth, here is my voice. And then Pilate asked that question, what is truth? And truth was standing before him, the Lord Jesus. Then Pilate gets in a quandary, and he tries to escape responsibility. And he says, as soon as he knew he belonged unto Herod, he sent him to him. My friend, are you trying to escape responsibility tonight if you're without Christ? Let me say, from this Bahamas, if you go out into eternity without Christ, greater the knowledge, greater the responsibility. Hell will be 10 times as hot for you. Friend, tonight, you know the way. Don't shirk your responsibility tonight, but come in and trust in the Savior. Look at me. They're taking him now from Pilate. Isaiah says from prison, from judgment, leading him as a lamb to the slaughter. And he's allowed him to do it. Says, and when Herod saw him, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him. Look at Herod's curiosity. Says he hoped to have seen some miracle. Friend, tonight, let me tell you, Christ just doesn't satisfy curiosity. Christ will satisfy the heart if you will be willing to come and to trust him. Then the soldiers of Herod, the mockery, it says they set him at naught. They made him as if he was nothing. And mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back to Pilate. Friend, what do you think about him? What do you make about him tonight? What's your opinion of him? Do you think enough of him to trust him with your life, with your soul, with your heart tonight? I trust him. I trust him. God has been good, as Brother Roddy's been saying, and all the prayers have been going up. He's been good, and he's protected us through this storm. But as Brother Roddy said, a greater storm is coming, friends, on this earth. And then the greatest storm that you'll spend eternity in hell forever if you go out of this life without Christ. Then they take him again from Herod. Back to Pilate they lead him. From judgment, from prison. 4 times within a few hours. Tried and retried and retried. Look at Pilate's testimony. I find no fault in him again. You see, Peter knew. Peter says, I watched him. Peter says he did no sin. Neither there was there found guile in his mouth. What was Pilate's wife's testimony? Have nothing to do with that just man. You see, he was perfect. What was the thief's testimony? This man's done nothing amiss. This man's done nothing wrong. What was the centurion's testimony? Truly, this was the Son of God. What was the people's testimony while he was on earth? Never man spake like this man. But Pilate comes up with a suggestion. Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ. Barabbas represents, he's a murderer. He's a picture of the world's representative. Or do you want Christ, the Son of God? He's a picture of God's representative. Friend, tonight, if you're without Christ, who do you want? Satan, the murderer, the world's representative? Or do you want Christ tonight, God's representative? It's your choice. You can go out tonight that door without trusting, and you'll accept the world's representative, Satan. Or you can accept Christ tonight and know the joy of sins forgiven. Matthew 27:22 says, Pilate saith unto them, what words? What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Those words break my heart every time. when I hear them say, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Friend, what's your answer tonight? What's your answer tonight? Crucify him. I away with him. I don't want him right now. Maybe later. I trust that won't be so tonight. I trust the goodness of God to this island this last couple of days will lead you to repentance and to this Bahamas. It was for the purpose of pleasing the people that Pilate delivered him. And I'll tell you tonight, many a person since have sold their soul for popularity. What are you selling yours for tonight? Some measly pleasure of this world? Some sin? Yes, there is pleasure for a season. The scripture says that. But oh, it says you could have pleasure forevermore in his presence. The choice is yours. To have sin now or have pleasure forevermore. What choice will be yours tonight? What are you going to sell him for tonight? I'm reminded of a story of a nobleman who gave his staff to a fool. You've probably heard this story before. I believe I heard Brother Frank tell the story. It's worth repeating. He says, and when you find a greater fool, give it to him. A couple of years later, the nobleman got very sick, and the fool went to see him. And the nobleman said to the fool, he says, I'm very sick. I must shortly leave you. The fool says, where are you going? Where are you going? Have you prepared for that place where you're going? He says, no, I haven't prepared for that place. And yet you're going to a place and you're going forever and never return? He says, no, never return. I haven't prepared. He says, take the staff because I have never found so great a fool. Friend, tonight, are you prepared? Are you ready to meet God? Let's go to that last journey. Come with me. Come with me. I want to spend quite a bit of time on this last journey. Because they're now leading from Pilate to Calvary. What a journey. Surely the Lord's heart is breaking. He knows it's just a few hours, just minutes. He'll be on the cross. What a journey. I tell you, that journey was a path of rejection. We mentioned some of this before. Pilate says, behold your king, and they cried out, away with him. I don't want him. Are you still rejecting him tonight? Friend, don't reject him any longer. Such a good friend. Such a kind person. Isaiah says he was despised, rejected of men, and we esteemed him not. We didn't value him. Does your cry resemble theirs tonight? Away with him? I trust not. But that journey to Calvary was also a path of surrender. Since they led him away. He did not resist. Brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And he opened not his mouth. He had the power to resist. He could have called 10,000 angels. But he died alone for you and me. Aren't you glad he didn't open his mouth? Aren't you glad he didn't call those 10,000 angels and destroy the world and set him free? They said while he was on the cross, we'll believe if you come down. Friends, tonight we believe because he stayed up and took our place. A path of surrender. But it was also that journey was a path of labor. Says Eve bearing his cross. You see, he knew what it was to sweat, didn't he? And thus assumed the curse that sin had brought. After being beaten so badly. now a cross on his back. Friends, that cross should have been mine. That cross should have been yours. But he bore it for us. I'm sure glad tonight that he did. Sure glad that I trusted him as my Savior. And I know that I won't have to bear that cross one day. How about you? How about you tonight? A path of labor. But also that journey was a path of physical suffering. Because on that way we see the scourging. Friends, could you imagine 39 times that whip with metal in that whip tearing his back to threads? And I understand sometimes it would go and pluck the eye out as it went around the back. What a picture he must have been. But he took it for me and for you. Should have been my beating. Should have been your beating. I say again, how could you turn such a friend away? And then the crown of thorns. We get one thorn in our finger and we complain so much about it. How about all those thorns broken off in his brow? What pain that must have been. He opened not his mouth. He took it for me. He took it for you. The buffeting. The pierced hands and feet. Visage marred more than any man. I like what I say. Says again. Friends, he didn't deserve it. Wounded for my transgressions. Wounded for your transgressions. That I might go free and you go free tonight. My friend tonight, don't turn such a friend away. Don't turn such love down. You might not have another chance tomorrow. He's your Savior right now. But that was also, that journey was a path of shame. I was saying to Brother Crest this morning, not many people have someone come up and spit in their face. He took it. He didn't open his mouth. The shame of the spittle. The shame of the mockery. And then the shame of being stripped naked. Open to the world. He didn't open his mouth. The psalmist says, they that ate me without a cause are more than the ears of my head. Says they would destroy me, being mine enemies, wrongfully. Then I restored that which I took not away. Aren't you glad he did? Shame hath covered my face. The reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Then, friends, it was also, that journey was a path of darkness. At noonday when God darkened the sky and shut his son in, and he laid my sin on him and your sin on him, the worst sin you could think of tonight, and there punished him for those sins. What a load was this. No wonder he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? A path of darkness. How dark the world was when his light was despised. But friend, he took the darkness that you might not have to take the darkness of hell forever. Oh, tonight, be wise. Be wise and trust him before it's too late. But also a path of infinite suffering. As I already said, when sin was laid upon him. What men did to him was more than we could imagine. But what God had to do to him was more than we could ever comprehend. To place my sin on him and punish him for them. We'll never get to the depths of that. But we thank him that he took it. And as we sang this morning, all my sins are forgiven, not a part, washed in the blood of the Lamb. As I was thinking of the blood, I'm reminded of Queen Victoria. One time visited a lonely elderly lady. She loved to visit elderly people. And as she was leaving, she asked the lady, "Is there anything I could do for you?" Lady says, "No, I have everything I need. Can't do anything." "Oh," the Queen Victoria says, "I'd love to do something for you." "No, Your Majesty, I have everything I need. But one thing I'd like for you to promise me, that you'll meet me in heaven." "Ah," she said, "I'll meet you there with one thing, and that's with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ sprinkled upon my heart." Friend, tonight, if you're without Christ, there's not a thing could get you to heaven, only that blood of Christ. Have you been to Calvary? Have you been there to be cleansed, washed of your sin? I trust so tonight. I trust if you haven't been, that you will go before it's too late. My God, not just once. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who could comprehend it? I say tonight, no one could get to the depths of it, what he endured for me and you. The psalmist again sang the prophetic psalm, "Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy ways." Listen, "Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. Lovers and friends hast thou put far from me." My friend tonight, what a Savior. What a Savior to endure that. There's no one could be compared with him tonight. But let me remind you that that path was also a path of substitution. Barabbas could say, "He died instead of me." And every one of us tonight has been to Calvary. Could say, "He died instead of me." Could you say it tonight? I trust so. Paul, writing to the Galatians, says, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." But it was also a part of a completed work. He says, "It is finished." Thank God the suffering is over tonight. He'll never suffer again. Physical suffering finished. Mental suffering finished. All the suffering that he endured from a holy God, once and for all, God is satisfied. The work has been completed. It's a matter tonight of you being willing to come and receive him as your Savior. As we close, listen at the words from the cross. "Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them." What a prayer. What a prayer. And look at the promise. "Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." Look at the provision. "He gave himself for me and for you." You know, I was thinking about the thief. And when the thief said, "Lord, remember me." And Jesus said today he had the greatest promiser. Because he was Jesus. He had the greatest place, paradise. He had the best time today. And he had the best company with me, the Lord Jesus. It could be yours tonight if you would simply trust him as your Savior. I'm reminded of a story as we close tonight. I read this story, I guess, about 3 years ago. I might have used it one time before. I don't know if it's here or at current. But Nicholas, too, was one who was loved by everyone in Moscow. He was a friend, a father to everyone. At one point of his life, he was made an officer of a fortress in some faraway place. And he was in charge of a number of soldiers and men in that fortress. During one cold winter night, a young man by the name of Ivan, who was in charge of the funds and the money, was sitting in his room, going over the books, realizing he had made a mess of his life. He had gone head over heels in debt. And even to make matters worse, this young man, Ivan, had gone into the government funds and taken money out of that, intending to pay it back, but sank further and further in debt. And then he realized the next day the auditors was going to be arriving, and he had to face them. He realized there was no way out. He would be dismissed and imprisoned, so he said he would take his life. He walked over, got the pistol, and as he was going back by the table, he noticed all the papers again. He said, I'll have one more chance at it to see if I could clear the debt. And he listed all that he owed, a long list, down the page. When he got to the end, he said, so great a debt, who can pay it? He walked with a pistol over to the fireplace. He looked at his watch. He says, I have 6 more hours before they come. And then I'll kill myself. I'll blow my brains out. And he fell asleep. Then his friend Nicholas was making the rounds at midnight. And Nicholas noticed light under the door. And Nicholas opened the door softly and walked in. And there was his friend Ivan with a pistol lying on his chest, fast asleep. Nicholas noticed all those papers and he looked down and he said, it was entitled, What I Owe. So great a debt, who can pay it? And Nicholas took and wrote something under the bottom of it, went over, took his pistol, and walked softly out. That morning early, Ivan awoke and realized it was light and reached for the pistol and it was gone. He walked over to the table to see if he was placed it there. And then he noticed someone had written under that, so great a debt, who can pay it? And underneath there, Nicholas had written these words. I will, your friend Nicholas. Friend tonight, so great a debt. And if you was to list it, you would have enough paper for all those sins tonight that we committed. You say, who can pay it? The Lord Jesus says tonight, I will. I have paid it in full with my precious blood. Friend, tonight, be kind to your soul. Don't leave tonight. If you're out in radio land, you're listening. If you're in a car, pull over. If you're home, get down on your knees and confess your sin and invite the Lord Jesus into your heart, into your life. Could we sing in closing just maybe 2 verses of 251, 251, almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. Seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some more convenient day on thee I'll call. Friend, don't wait for a more convenient day. There's no more convenient day than right now. Be kind to your soul and trust it tonight. 251. And the first and last verses.
Could we just pray and then we'll sing the last verse? Is there one here tonight who has never yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? Friend, you know your heart. Maybe you made a profession and you know it's not real. Why not be sure tonight? Is there one tonight who would like to indicate that to us, that you'd really would like to know for sure that you're saved? You'd like to raise your hand and let us know. You know it won't save you. Is there one tonight? Let's pray. Father, we realize afresh tonight, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by your Spirit. We realize we can't create one anxious thought in one person here tonight or is listening by means of radio. But precious Spirit of God, we know that you can. So we command the message to you and pray that you will use it to the salvation of some lost soul or souls tonight. We thank you again for the opportunity to present the gospel, the good news of how Christ died for our sins. We ask now that you'll part us with your blessing, giving thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. The last verse in the meeting will be over.